What?
I'm going to rip out his tongue and his penis.
Why? From the heart of Broadway here in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, where my voice will be second fiddle to the man that I have on the show tonight, it's Mr. 100 Presents with your host, myself, Shannon Young, back at you on another Tuesday, where it's warmer than last Tuesday, and we're just a couple days away from Christmas, which is horribly sad, and, you know, that's what happens when you let the gays marry. With me tonight...
Setting the bar so high. We 20 seconds in. And the first gay marriage joke of the situation.
Sody Kanducky.
That's right.
What are you doing in the interview zone?
I'm in the interview zone to let people know that this is a Mr. 100% episode that needs to be listened to.
It is.
Also that the twisters are coming. So find your Auntie M, hide in your basements, and Christmas is not going to be happy this year.
This show's already classier than anything that Zach Kirgis did. So I'm hoping that you can beat him.
Hi-o. I'm going for the ratings. Top five is all I'm asking for.
Top five?
Yeah.
That could be hard.
We've only had like 7 or 8 of these, right?
That's true, but people are dying to be on this show.
I know.
I'm getting letters. I'm getting phone calls. Sam Jackson called me yesterday.
Did he?
Yeah, Sam Jackson, the guy from Rush Hour.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah, he called me yesterday and said, man, I want to be on that Mr. 100%.
And I said, sure he does his Michael Jackson impression.
And I said, Sam Jackson, what are you doing?
Oh,
hey, Moses. Cody Sandusky is here with us tonight. Now, Cody, as you listeners out there know, old friend of mine, we've known each other for...
I'd say a number of years. I used to pester you at GameStop.
I can't even remember.
Late 2000s. I know that much.
And it's like a blur. It's one of those things. It's like with Hunter when he and I discussed it. I know I've known you for so long and I don't know why. Can't remember where.
As I said, I was one of the kids that pestered you in the GameStop and then you were courteous enough to not, you know, curse my name and wish me to die. So I appreciate that.
I don't now.
Well, you know, I'm okay with that. That's okay. I'm perfectly fine with that.
It's always weird to hear people say like, yeah, when I was a kid, I used to shop with you. And I think, good God.
Well, we're not
some
that
people
far
that used to
far.
Shop with me when they were a kid want to sleep with me now.
That's not the truth.
I won't
here.
Say any names. Are you sure?
I'm positive. You're a wonderful looking man and all.
Thank you.
But no, I'm cool.
They don't call me Mr. 100 because I'm 100 years old.
That's right.
Got a couple years left.
That's right.
Thank you. Cody, tonight, on this special occasion, as we always do, we've got some questions.
Oh, and I'm so excited. I will admit before we go in, because I had multiple posts being commented on today on Facebook,
yeah,
I've seen one or two of these,
uh-oh,
but the vast majority I'm in the dark about, so I'm simultaneously excited and terrified because I know my sister, my girlfriend's sister, and my girlfriend have both contributed.
Oh, good.
You say good. That's not the word I was thinking
of. When we had Dalton on the show with his girlfriend, Brittany, a couple of weeks ago, she told us how small his penis was. So I'm hoping we get something similar on that. That's right. Dalton Manch, tiny penis, confirmed here on Podzilla 1985.
I'm glad Brittany confirmed it because I'm not going to help with that investigation.
I could have confirmed it, but I felt it was her place to say it, not me.
She's better to be aware than we are.
Dalton Manch in the peanut gallery tonight, hearing all this. Can't see him, though. He's behind me, which is not a safe place to be if Dalton Manch is behind you.
No, I was wondering why we set up with our backs to him.
They say I like the Quaaludes, but that boy, whew, I hear he goes in raw.
Like Eddie Murphy? It's and transvestite joke here somewhere? Is that where we're going?
It's like a...
the highbrow podcast. This is going to help my radio career in ways you'll never understand.
Oh, my God. You have no idea how much this will boost you.
That's right.
Look what we did for Nate and his My Little Pony podcast. That's not even a joke. His podcast is doing well. Congratulations. Or not podcast, but his YouTube channel is doing fairly well.
I've seen a few videos, yes.
And not my cup of tea, but I'm glad we launched them. And I'm confirming here that I will have Nate on in the next couple of weeks for Mr. 100 Presents. That should be entertaining.
Man.
Nate hasn't been on here since I made him cry about gay marriage.
This ought to be entertaining. I don't know how I feel being before that now. Because I don't know the competition.
There's not much competition. These shows are actually terrible.
I enjoy these shows.
I don't know how many people really listen to them and think they're good. I think they're awful.
I enjoy them. And I'll tell you why briefly before we get into the questions.
Because go ahead.
You and I are kindred spirits in the sense that you have an associate degree in journalism.
Yes.
I only
have a 2-year degree. I don't know if you've heard that.
I have, but that's still a degree in journalism, which is much more than a lot of people I've read online.
Yes.
I started my pursuits in college in journalism, or at least in broadcasting. That's not where I finished. We'll get into that later, I'm sure. But
yes, we
have kindred spirits in terms of, I think we both enjoy that investigative journalism.
I do.
That inquisitive interview setup. So that's why I was excited to be on here.
Oh yeah, this is my favorite show because it's one-on-one. It's interview. It's learning about the person. It's talking about world events. This is how I kind of envisioned the show to begin with.
Right.
But very quickly I found out that people don't really want investigative journalism. They want squalor.
We're not NPR.
Yeah.
We're a far cry.
So I provide squalor.
That's whatever pays the bills.
That's why we have your Zach Kurguses and your Nate Smiths on the show. Squalor. Before we get into the questions too, I just want to say we said it on PWU a couple days ago, and I want to say it again. Congratulations on graduating.
Thank you.
Tell us what you're graduating from and what you're going to do.
I've graduated from SEMO with a degree in general studies. In an abbreviated version, I'll kind of give that out of the way now.
Congrats.
I started Missouri Baptist in 2010 studying broadcast media. I passed up an opportunity to go to the journalism school at Mizzou because it was just too expensive. Student loans and all of that.
Right.
Little did I know I would still be owing for school after I graduated, but left MoBAP to come back to SEMO, moved back closer to family in 2013. Took a few semesters off.
And glad you did.
Yeah, I'm glad to be back.
We reconnected, and we've become good friends since then, and I'm very glad that that happened.
I've enjoyed it a great deal.
Me too. So. I'm losing friends left and right. I need all the ones I can keep, and you've always been a good guy. So I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're on the show. I'm glad to be talking to you tonight.
I'm being boosted way more than I expected coming into this. Well, you are stroking that ego.
I appreciate everyone that comes on this show. I appreciate everyone that listens to it. I act like a big shot sometimes, and I walk around with my head up like, look at me, Mr. Celebrity, local celebrity. And truth is, I'm nothing without the people that help me. I'm nothing without you guys. I'm nothing without the listeners. So thank you, and thank you guys for listening so much.
Agreed.
So much. Let's get to these questions, because some people have some burning questions for you.
Let's do it.
First one is from Dalton Manch. It's actually the last one, but he just posted it, so let's get it out of the way.
I saw him typing on his phone. I wondered what this was.
Pussbot5000 says, suck it, and Cody, you know it's small.
You know what? My girlfriend might listen to this. She doesn't need... She already assumes that some of my male friends make me their own. I didn't need the help. Thanks, Dalton. Let me make sure to give you a special handshake around the throat after the show.
Throat, by the way, is the new slang for penis.
Yep, there it was. Yeah. I was going to go directly for the joke, but yeah, I figured I would laugh. Allow someone to set it up.
Right.
So.
Yeah, you know, I try not to pass up on any opportunities.
I understand.
I'm like Jay Leno. Hey, I'm doing impressions tonight. Yeah. Look at me. I'm busting them out just for you. Aaron Picard, who's become a big listener to the show, and many shouts out to Aaron Picard, gave me a lovely book today on religion.
Ooh,
and it's like a starter's guide, like a beginner's thing for Christianity. And he knows about my recent pursuit of the word.
Right.
And he knows I'm an idiot. So that helps.
Everyone's got me new coming into faith.
I mean, at least it wasn't like a Christianity for Dummies book.
I'm sure that exists somewhere.
I know that exists somewhere.
That's terrifying that it does. And he Googles it as we go into this.
Not quite. Aaron wants to know. I got excited. Well, he comments. I got excited when I read you were going to talk about college wrestling. Not quite.
No, as he notes, I think we missed a comma.
Then I noticed the comma. Can you talk college wrestling? Mizzou is having another good year. If not, what does Cody think of the Cardinals signing Mike Leake today? First off, I want to say, Cody, thank you for not reading all the questions.
Right.
I've only had one guest read all the questions before the show, despite being told not to.
Yeah.
And she's shaking her head no, but it actually happened. So, what do you think about college wrestling? How's Mizzou doing? Do you know anything about it? I don't.
Wrestling, or at least in the Greco-Roman freestyle, the traditional wrestling sport, is something I missed along the way in high school. I worked during school, so I only caught the football and the basketball games I was required to attend to and listen to the rest on the radio.
Yeah.
Obviously, wrestling isn't very common on radio in any form, especially on a high school level. So I'm learning about the sport. I know Mizzou is traditionally a power. It was in the Big 12. It's still going to be the same in the SEC, I believe. It doesn't surprise me they're having a solid year, and thank God for it, because Mizzou needs a sport that has a solid year. They're going through some changes, both tumultuous and not, in their college athletics. So to see someone come in and continue to be stable is a good sign. As for the signing of Mike Leake, I love it.
Can I just say, that is a great bullshit answer for
absolutely
something you didn't know much about.
Yeah.
You are a politician, my friend.
That's right. Sports, radio, politicians, we go hand in hand.
Yeah.
We have a dearth of things to understand, a limited amount of time to learn them, and zero drive to actually learn them. So we kind of just tell
like
you what we can.
Like Republicans.
Exactly.
And, you know, facts.
I'm a self-respecting human being, unlike Donald Trump, so I'm not quite on that slant. You can probably put me on the Jeb Bush side.
Are you of the right persuasion?
On some things. I grew up a social conservative. I have moved more toward a moderate to libertarian form on that.
But you don't get offended when we talk about Donald Trump on this show.
Oh, not at all. No, I have no respect for him. He's a moron. Yes, okay. I have no respect for him.
Good, good. Also, if you're listening in going, what kind of show is this going to be?
Just strap in. It's going to be everything.
If you've ever watched the great John Panette's comedy special.
Yes.
He walks out on stage and he says, if you're wondering what kind of comedy special this is going to be, and then he looks around at all the food, you know, if you're looking for WikiLeaks jokes.
This ain't it.
Well, Cody is a sports dynamo. Now, you host on ESPN Radio at River Radio, right?
Right. I host a Saturday morning show we call the Saturday Morning Express from 9 to 10 on Saturday mornings.
And you make a living out of sports, more or less.
Right now, I consider it more of a hobby that pays.
Yeah.
Because I do IT at a local facility as well.
Don't say that.
Yeah, right. Okay. I will say the career, not the location. Not right. That I really care too much, but I understand the show's policy and maintaining a job's a good idea.
It's a rule on this show that you don't mention where you work.
Yeah,
just because
Craig, Miles.
Except for me and Jesse, because we work at Gaming Grounds, where we record this show.
709 Broadway.
709 Broadway for all your gaming needs. We take pre-orders, special orders on Nintendo, Super Nintendo. If you haven't picked up those last-minute stocking stuffers, come by and see your friends at Gaming Grounds.
We got plenty of copies of Madden 95.
We do, surprisingly. Ethan works at a food library.
That's why I was trying to disguise his name with Craig Eth Miles.
I was hoping Ethan would post a comment, a question for the show, and he would want me to ask you, where do you work?
Local facility.
Like, what's it like being a Turtles fan?
It's fun.
I say it, but I love Ethan. We all love Ethan.
I love you greatly, Ethan. I will let you know live on the air.
Now, back to this Mike Leake guy. Who's Mike Leake?
Mike Leake is a starting pitcher formerly of the Cincinnati Reds, okay. Who's a division rival of the Cardinals, as well as the San Francisco Giants.
Yes.
He's not the big splashy signing the Cardinals, or maybe many Cardinal fans, were striving for at the beginning of the offseason. We offered a couple $200 million contracts to a starting pitcher named David Price.
Yes.
And an outfielder named Jason Hayward.
Now, David Price, related to Zach Price?
No.
Okay.
No. I don't.
Friend of the show.
So. Right. Their ethnicities are a little off in terms of being related.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, so he's gay.
Ethnicity.
Oh, my bad.
The other word. No, I have no problem with that signing. We needed an innings eater, and I'm glad that we have him on a relatively team-friendly contract. You're looking at me like a lot of these terms are just out of left field.
No, I know what baseball is. Things.
Good. Okay, so that is the sport. Yeah. We've talked in the past that you enjoy sports at a very minimal consumer level, but not all of them.
My level of expertise with sports, I actually, surprisingly enough, I don't know if you knew this about me, but I had a scholarship throughout college, and I had a scholarship for sports journalism.
Yes.
I actually covered the games. I talked to the coaches. I did all that stuff, and I hated it. Because there was nothing like talking to an angry coach afterwards about what just happened.
Oh, it's
to
fun.
Ask stupid questions like, how do you feel about losing? How do you think he feels about losing?
I do it every night after my Jackson games. I understand.
So it wasn't fun for me. But yeah, I've done sports journalism in the past. More of my sports experience comes from the fact that I really liked triple play baseball
on
Sega Genesis, RBI baseball, bases loaded, the Madden games, Tecmo Bowl. NBA Live, those games, just fantastic stuff. Jordan versus Bird back on the original Nintendo, the classic. Yes. So most of my sports knowledge comes from video games.
Oddly enough, that's where a lot of mine come from as well. As I was growing up, if you haven't seen me in person, I'm like 6'2", 280 on a good day.
He's 6'7", 400 pounds of muscle.
I'm Ivan Drago from Southeast Missouri.
Yes. Now,
I'm, as much as I love sports, I'm a very unathletic individual, and I learned to cope with that in early age. My brother played baseball throughout high school, had an opportunity to go to college, play baseball. Like, he has the athleticism out of us three kids.
Right.
The way I describe it, my nephew, who is my son's brother, or my brother's son, and gained all of that athleticism. I know, the family tree's messed up.
I'm glad you explained to me what a nephew is.
Yep.
Because I was confused.
Yep, my bad. See, I told you, this is not going to be high-quality podcasting. This is going to be
well, you're on the right show, then.
That's right.
Yeah.
Anyway, I explain to people that I understand what's happening in the game. My nerve endings just don't understand what to do with that information.
Okay.
Like, I get how to play football.
Yeah.
I just suck at football.
I love playing football.
I enjoy hitting people.
Oh,
yes.
Well, yeah, me too. I mean,
it doesn't happen very often for me because I'm not fast, which also doesn't help.
I'm also a large man. I'm a large guy.
Yes.
They refer to me around here as an Adonis. A Cadillac of men. And
I didn't know he had Rick Martell on the podcast.
Is Dalton laughing again?
He's smirking.
With his stupid little man bun, he's going to say that I'm not a man?
Well, I never said you were a man. I've never heard the Cadillac of men.
Cadillac of men.
So you're like the Miller High Life, the Cadillac of beers.
You know what they used to call me at Little Caesar?
What did they used to call you at Little Caesar?
Fabio.
Ah.
At Shoe Carnival, I was Shanakin's. No, at Stephen Berry's, I was Shanakin Skywalker. Let that soak in.
Uh-huh.
And, oh, I am. That's it. What were we talking about?
Yeah, anyway.
I don't remember. Yeah. What were we talking about?
Athleticism.
Oh, I also like hitting people.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun. Now, if you want to talk about wrestling, which we will.
Yes, we will.
That I can get down on. But we got some more questions here.
All right.
I can't pronounce that last
Denneke.
Name. Denneke.
Yes.
Sorry, Johnny Denneke. Cody Sandusky is in the championship of one of his fantasy football leagues. How badly does he think he's going to do to lose in the championship? How bad are you going to lose in the championship?
I'm
going to
win.
You're
going to
win.
This is the first time, again, going back to the concept of understanding sports.
Yeah.
I run a fantasy football league. I participate in many.
Yeah.
I do the research. I prepare weeks before
it's
our
draft.
It's
like Moneyball.
Right.
Except not at all.
Right. But yeah. There's money on the line.
Yes.
Here's the thing.
It involves balls.
Yes.
Yeah.
I suck at fantasy football. Just like I suck at real sports. Because God hates the fact that I love this thing I'm no good at.
And you're a religious guy.
Yes.
So you truly believe God hates it.
I truly believe God has a sense of humor and just likes to mock the fact that I love something.
Of course God has a sense of humor. Have you seen platypuses?
This is right.
Have you seen Dalton's hair?
That's a Robin Williams joke, actually.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, God. Go Stealing from the dead.
No, it's okay. It's A Night at the Met. Look it up. One of the best stand-up albums ever. Anyway, yeah. I'm going to win this year. It's the first time in our league history, I'm the number one seed. My team has looked good. I'm facing the number two seed. First time this has ever happened. I'm going to win because I want to win the money.
You're going to win because you want to.
That's right.
That is the American
way. And I'm the commissioner, so I can make it to where I win anyway. I can manipulate things because I have control.
Dalton has a follow-up question. Suck it more. God damn.
I'm not even going to address that with a response.
I have an anonymous question for you.
Okay.
Anonymous
because you can't pronounce the name again, or literally?
No, I know the person that asked this. I know him personally. But he said, Cody, as a Pokemon trainer, do you enjoy the dragon types? Because I'm going to be dragging my balls across your face come Sunday.
Yep. Okay. That was the mysterious question he would not let me on to. Oh, I'll out him. That's Perry Hazelwood.
I can't confirm it.
I will confirm it. I only have to see it. Well played, sir. You're smack talking on an interview podcast. I'm impressed to the lengths my league mates will go. Just kind of give you a preview. There is a nickname for me. The first part is the commish. The second part.
That was a good show too.
Yes.
Yeah.
The commish. The second part is. I can't repeat it on the podcast.
Yes, you can.
Sorry, Billy. And that's, we'll leave it at that.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's one of those terms.
Yep.
It's making fun of the homosexuals.
Yes.
Ooh.
It's endearing in the sense it's been beaten into me for the last 5 years.
Well, Dalton has a similar problem. His nickname in high school was, I don't know if I should say it on the
show. Nope. Let's leave that out.
You don't want to say that word on the show? Inward lips.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
Also, we call him DSL because if you looked at him, he looks like he could suck the chrome off of a door handle.
Man.
You know what I'm saying?
This is not the Steve Austin Family Friendly Podcast. This is Unleashed, I'll tell you what right now.
Oh, we don't play games here.
That's right.
There's a reason everybody wants to come on this show and not nerd up.
Oh, throwing bows.
If you got enough volume, you can probably get on there.
Sorry.
Love you, Jesse. Aaron Picard has another question.
Okay.
More for Cody. Who's your pick to win the Christmas tournament? I'm assuming he's talking about darts.
No, we have the Southeast Missourian Christmas Tournament, which happens at the Show Me Center. I think this is the 79th annual. It's a long-running tradition. Aaron, here's the thing. No one that is supposed to win is probably going to win except by sheer luck. They gotta give you, Jax is the number one seed, Cape Central is the number two seed, and Notre Dame from Cape are the number three seed.
Right.
They're the three most successful teams from last year. All three of them have looked really bad this year. And that's coming from a person who broadcasts Jackson basketball, so it happens.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's going to be fun. For this year, for the first time in maybe 5 or 6 years since I was in high school, I think there's some open room for someone who's lower than your traditional top teams to win it. So actually go to the games and listen to the games, which you can across the radio networks.
And will you be calling them?
I will be calling some of them. I have 9 games this year.
I remember when I was at the Man Show a couple of months ago.
Yes.
You were there.
Yes.
Because I was surprised. I looked over there. You are at the booth. And I'm like, oh, there's Cody.
Yes. On Cody. Afternoon Show Redacted.
I won a guitar there.
Yes, you did.
Through the air guitar concert.
Yes, you
did.
Did
you get to see my performance?
I was there beside you for the performance.
That's right.
Until I was up on the top rail applauding for your performance.
You and I, we got back to back.
Yeah,
we
did.
Shredding like
it
crazy.
It was beautiful.
I didn't know I was going to win that.
I'm glad you won. That's what I was hoping for.
I had
because I wasn't allowed to win, but due to contractual obligations, I had to participate.
Huh. But we had fun.
Oh, I had a blast.
And then we had the giant section up there. We had the gaming tournament going for Gaming Grounds.
Yeah, we did. Show.
And they were Crystal yelled at them, you better cheer for him.
And we did.
Like the only time Chris has ever had my back. Love you, Chris. I know you're listening for some reason.
God knows why. I'm glad you're here.
Aaron also says, am I a horrible person for enjoying watching Johnny Manziel throw terrible games?
No, it's okay. You want to, it's called Schadenfreude. You want to enjoy other people's flight. Yes.
Yeah. It's like a train wreck.
Yeah, it
Thursday.
Is. It is. Yeah. You, what you can catch every Thursday on the Podzilla 1985 networks.
Well, thank you. We're going to have to do something soon because Tanner might be taking a extended leave of absence soon.
Man.
For personal reasons, but good reasons.
Okay.
Good reasons. Nothing
good
bad.
Reasons. Okay.
But good stuff. Hopefully.
Fingers crossed.
We're going to have to, have a new show. I don't know if I know anybody else that has, names starting with the letter T.
I mean, my fantasy football team name in this Gaming Grounds League is the Toady Sanduckies.
Toady Sanducky Thursdays. It just doesn't roll like
Tanner Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Trainwreck might just be the default name for a while.
Copyright, Johnny. Big Johnny.
That's right.
Big Johnny. Who I'll probably have on next week for this, by the
All
way.
All right. Oh, man.
I'm going to try to book him.
I'm the transitional champion is what you're telling me.
You always were.
That's right.
What's Rob doing?
Oh, my former host of Afternoon Show Redacted. I'm not sure. He and I exchange tweets occasionally where we mock Johnny Manziel, oddly enough, recently.
Is it Manziel?
Manziel.
I call him Manziel.
It's okay.
Well, you can tell I don't watch sports.
It's okay. He doesn't deserve that kind of respect to have his name
pronounced
correctly.
What team does he play for?
The Cleveland Browns, a football team.
Oh, they're still a team.
Yes.
I also like that song. That's Sweet Georgia Brown.
Yes.
That's a different thing.
I thought you were going to say Cleveland Rocks by the President of the United States of America.
You know, Bone Thugs and Harmony's from Cleveland.
Yes, they are.
East 1999 Street. Yeah.
Take me to the crossroads.
I'm going to try to get them on the show at some point. I'm dead serious.
I want, if you get Crazy Bone on this podcast.
I'm just talking about Crazy Bone.
I'm going to be kneeling down by the table, just seeing in awe everything happening. Dalton, you shut your mouth.
Kneeling at the table.
Yeah, I know. I didn't think I was going to be it.
I have Crazy on my friends list. He's a friend of mine on Facebook. Yeah. Craig Jack, your boss, is his name on there.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it.
Anyway.
I am not the local celebrity you're looking for. It's okay.
No, that's.
Yeah, that's right.
This guy. Last thing, who are you to question El Dandy?
No, it's who am I to doubt El Dandy? I'll tell you what, I'm the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be, and El Dandy deserves a U.S. title shot, Mean Gene Okerlund.
Who's El Dandy?
WCW?
Are we really going back to WCW
El
Dandy?
That's El Dandy, yeah.
Because when I read that, that was the first thing I thought.
It took me a second to think about it myself, because that was the other one I had seen, was his El Dandy question as a part of that one. And I looked, I was like, oh my God, we're going with El Dandy today.
I love El Dandy. El Dandy, Silver King,
what
was his name? Halloween 666 or something like that. There were so many great cruiserweights in that.
Was it Damien 666?
No, I think that was a movie. That was the extra.
No, I'm pretty sure there's a Mexican wrestler. The AAA and CMLL guys all have interchangeable names.
They do.
I mean, there was only one.
There was only one luchador that mattered.
Are you talking about?
He was the chairman of WCW. La Parca.
Okay, that's where I thought you were going.
Yeah, La Parca.
Because there were serious answers such as who Vince Guerrero, Rey Mysterio, Eddie Guerrero, and then La Parca.
La Parca is legitimate.
Disco Inferno.
Shut up. Have you ever seen the clip of La Parca down in Mexico?
Yes,
and
probably.
He's kind of knocked into the crowd, and some drunk guy tries to grab his mask off. La Parca turns around and hits him in the face so hard, he knocks him back a row.
Yes.
He smashes that guy's face in, because you don't touch the wrestlers.
No, that's integrity. That is life.
You especially don't touch their masks in Mexico.
Agreed.
I don't know how many of you wrestling fans out there that listen to the show, you just watch WWE, you don't understand the pride of the Mexican wrestlers and their masks. Those luchador masks are like, I mean, it's like their souls. You mess with those, and it's bad.
That was one of the most saddening moments as a part of WCW. Now,
Rey
mind
Mysterio.
You, watching Rey Mysterio, Psychosis, having to go by,
Hoovitude.
Yeah.
Hoovy. Three of them that got their masks taken off.
Yeah.
Rey was especially bad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which, God love him. You know, the WWE run and maybe some of the performance enhancing things helped beef his physique.
Yeah.
But at that point, he was still the very slender baby face.
Extremely baby
that
face.
That did not help him at all.
When he popped that mask off, he looked worse than Braun Strowman does now.
I'm trying to remember who said it. It's been a long time ago since I've heard it, but someone had called him a rejected member of Menudo. Well, you laugh, though. There's truth to this. Look it up.
I'm thinking that we're going to have Menudo as the opening song now.
Oh, gosh.
Because you just cursed it.
Of all the ones that we could have gone, Menudo.
Do you know Olivia Riley?
Yes, she is the sister of my girlfriend.
Oh, and lovely, lovely lady.
Yes.
If you had to change your name to one of Santa's reindeer's names, which one would you choose?
Dasher in the same ironic sense as Tiny for Tiny Lister. I'm not fast, but having the name Dasher makes me sound like it.
That's a good answer. I think I would be Blitzen.
Yeah?
Because I'll blitz you.
Ah.
Yeah.
Brah-ah-ah.
Yeah. Take you down. Also or, because I'm usually drunk.
Or you could also
it's
be...
not true.
It could be one of the run-on jokes from Dodgeball. Blaze. Laser. Blazer. Michelle. And then the Russian lady whose name I cannot pronounce at the moment.
Oh, God. Dodgeball.
Such a great film.
It's certainly a movie that exists.
And gosh, I wish it were better.
Emily Riley, I assume this is the significant
this
one.
This is the significant other.
All right. If you were one person from Parks and Recreations, who would it be? You cannot be Ron Swanson.
Oh!
Now, she said you cannot be Ron. I put Swanson at the end just to show that I do know what pop culture is.
There you go. And I'm very glad that she's referencing the show. I was hoping to find one because I'm a big Friends fan. That's my favorite sitcom.
Friends?
Yes.
Is your favorite sitcom?
Yeah. And she won't watch it with me because I quote it incessantly.
Friends is your favorite sitcom?
Yes.
You've seen Married with Children?
Yes.
And Friends is your favorite sitcom?
It has a lot of sentimental value as well.
Okay. I won't
both of my siblings and yeah. I, that we're all big Friends fans.
I can buy that.
Yeah. But Parks, if I can't darn you from taking Ron Swanson away from me, I gotta be Tom Haverford or John Ralphio. John Ralphio is, okay, never mind. Douchey guys who think they're really popular and hot with the ladies, but they're not.
Which one's Chris Pratt? That's the answer.
That's Andy Dwyer.
That's the answer.
Okay.
Pick that one.
Okay, fine. I'll be Andy Dwyer. Fat Andy Dwyer, though.
Of course.
Yeah. I don't get to be fit Chris Pratt. This
no.
Would be
you're not Star-Lord.
You're right.
No.
Nor am I.
All right. I have a follow-up question.
Whatever from Jurassic World.
What was his name in Jurassic
World? I know.
World?
I'm blanking.
Chris Pratt.
Right. Close enough.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think his name was Velociraptor.
Blue.
Blue.
Hey,
you're my boy, Blue.
That's
a, I have a follow-up question for that.
Okay.
You talk about Friends.
Yes.
Your favorite sitcom.
Yes.
Which of the three girls, if you... Oh, can I get vulgar? Can I get vulgar real quick?
Sure, why not?
Or are you going to get in trouble if I get vulgar?
Let's roll to see what happens.
All right. This I don't remember how the out. Game goes, but it's... What is it? Date, fuck, marry? Fuck, marry, kill.
Okay.
Thank you, Dalton. Oh, this got vulgar quick. And I apologize to the virgin ears out there.
Yeah,
all right.
Okay.
All right. Let's go by the actresses' names, because I don't remember the names of the show.
Lisa Kudrow,
Jennifer Aniston, and Courtney Cox.
Yeah. Thank God you didn't append Arquette to the end anymore.
I like David Arquette. And you know
I do.
I am a fan of his run as WCW champion.
Okay, this is where we differ.
Only because he donated all the proceeds to charity.
That was a big benefit to
that. A lot of people don't give him credit for that.
Yeah.
You know, the dude was put in a position he didn't want to be in. Yeah. If you listen to DDP, he didn't want to be in that position to begin with.
Right.
But he made the best of it. So much, much props to David Arquette.
Kudos, David Arquette.
He was great in Bone Tomahawk.
Yeah, okay.
Which, if you have not seen Bone Tomahawk.
I've heard of it.
Incredible movie. One of my favorites. Anyway.
See it.
All right.
Okay, so.
Do this. And Emily, I am sorry.
Sleep with, marry, kill. Okay,
sleep with, marry, kill. No. Date, marry, kill.
Okay.
That way your girlfriend doesn't go, okay, so you want to fuck this person. So
date. You censored it after we've said it a couple times. I get it.
Yeah.
Okay. Kill.
Who would you kill?
Kill is hard. The hardest, honestly.
Hitler didn't think so.
Well, no, he didn't. Thank God his name got brought up in this podcast after no effort of my own. I don't have German relatives, Zach. Why is this coming up?
Oh, my God. Poor Zach.
He brought it up. It's not my fault. That's in public domain, maybe.
Oh, God.
I'm probably taking out Monica. And by taking out, I mean killing Monica.
Courtney Cox.
Yes.
Although Courtney Cox was an attractive lady at
the
time. Now I feel like she's had too much Botox, too much surgery.
You know, if you've seen Lisa Kudrow lately... She's not aged as gracefully either, but
Jennifer,
I feel like the lack of plastic surgery or
the face,
cosmetic procedures has helped.
But Jennifer Aniston.
Still.
And it's not to say that the woman's worth is only based on
not
her.
No, not at all.
That's how I used to feel. I still feel that way, but I used to as well. That's a Mitch Hedberg joke
yes,
I've adapted.
It is, and
okay.
Also references a line from a Dilated People's rap song.
I know.
I'm
shaking my head.
Okay.
All right,
I don't
so
smoke weed no more, but I don't smoke it no less. That's the line it comes from.
You kill Monica. You
I
kill
take
Courtney
out Monica,
Cox.
Yeah.
All right. Phoebe and... don't tell me. What was the other one's name? Phoebe and... Kate? No.
Rachel.
Yeah. That's a tell me.
You went Kate. I didn't think you were going to get any closer than that. You started with a swing and a miss, buddy. I wanted to help you from sinking.
You came in way too late.
Yeah, well, I'm doing my best.
30 minutes ago, you should have done that.
30 minutes ago, I should have ran away from the microphone. Are we already at 30 minutes?
We are.
Moses.
These shows breeze by. We have so much fun.
Anyway, I would date Phoebe, because that seems pretty entertaining. You'd probably meet a couple hobos on the street, get your, licked on the neck in the subway, which actually happened in an episode. I can do this all day, and I don't want to embarrass myself. I would marry Rachel. She has a stable job. She would pay for me to do sports radio full time because one of us would have to fund the children.
We'll call this episode "The One with Cody Sandusky."
There you go. I'm okay with that.
That's a Friends reference.
That is a Friends reference.
That. All right.
I am so happy in this moment.
So kill Courtney Cox.
Yep.
Date Lisa Kudrow. Marry Jennifer Aniston.
Yes.
100%.
Which is applicable also because I've been called Ross by most of my friends.
Although Courtney Cox then was much hotter, and plus the only Friends episode I can remember. Okay. Is the one where Lisa Kudrow, Phoebe, sang that damn Smelly Cat song.
Probably the original appearance, because that song comes up a lot in the show.
Does she?
Yeah.
Does it really?
It's a running joke. Yeah.
Well, kudos to Kudrow.
Yeah. You know what? She actually, tidbit for the day, she was actually practicing guitar to prepare for the show, but thought that the character wouldn't be that good at guitar. But she was getting progressively better.
So she purposely played
bad. No, she stopped taking guitar lessons after she learned 4 chords.
Oh.
3 or 4 chords. So she just knew those and took it with the character the rest of the way.
That's 4 more chords than I ever learned with my free guitar.
It's one more than I can name the chord. I can play a few chords, but I don't know the names of them, which is sad because I do music.
I want to throw a shout out to Kirby Ray, who's offered to teach me how to play guitar. Where are you, Curb? I've got my phone. Where are you?
You said curb service.
I want curb service. Yeah, I'm rocking. I can't rock without you.
I really should not be naming people I work with.
I mean,
they like me there.
Ruby K.
What's Ruby K doing in the Impact Zone, and why is Kiss playing his theme song? WCW joke.
Kiss
all
Demon.
Of you who don't know.
Kiss Demon. Dale Tolberg.
Yeah.
Remember that guy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Zach
Duperrier.
Duperrier. I almost said Duperrier.
You know what? Do that. Zach Duperrier.
Duperrier. How do you feel when you realize that Tennessee football is forever doomed to underachieve their ridiculously bloated preseason expectations under Butch Jones' leadership?
I cry myself to sleep every night. Next question.
So that's not different than how you feel about anything else, though.
Pretty much. I admit I get mocked a lot because I have no direct affiliation with the state of Tennessee other than I have family that's from there. And I have family members who enjoy that school.
Who expects you to have a direct affiliation with Tennessee?
You know, they want reasons for why you cheer the teams you cheer.
Oh.
And for Zach and a lot of my friends, they went to Mizzou.
You know,
so they're directly affiliated with Mizzou.
Yeah.
I went to MoBap, who didn't have a football team until 2 years ago, and SEMO, who I don't acknowledge as a football team sometimes.
Oh, good, good.
Even though now I might get paid one day to call their games. At that point, I'll do it.
It's funny, but amazing what money can do for
you. That's right.
You know, my favorite football team growing up was the Steelers.
Okay, I can respect that.
They were my favorite team, and people always ask me, why do you cheer the Steelers when, you know, I got a message from Lonnie Chapman. Not right now, buddy.
Does he have a question for the podcast?
Yeah. Why did that 360 get returned?
Oh.
Yeah.
You see, boss man, what had happened was.
Somebody needed cigarette money.
What you don't know, Lonnie, is now I'm secretly an employee of your store.
He wouldn't know.
He probably don't care.
He doesn't know who works here anymore. But no, I was a Steelers fan.
Okay.
And everyone made fun of me for it. You know, you should cheer the Rams.
Right.
Or if not the Rams.
No.
Then,
the Bears?
No? Nobody. No.
The Bears?
Bears?
I say don't say the Rams because don't be me. Don't hate yourself.
I grew up in Illinois. Like, I'm not from Missouri originally.
Right.
I'm from Illinois. And, actually, I'm from Ireland originally.
Oh, yes.
In my dreams. So everyone told me, but St. Louis was closer.
Right.
And St. Louis eventually got a team. So it's like Rams. I'm like, no, I like the Steelers. Cordell Stewart
is
one of my favorite players of all time.
Yes. You mentioned that around a Mizzou question. That's risky. Colorado boy in the Hail Mary.
And he was a great player, though.
Yes.
And even if he wasn't the best player, he had that it factor.
Mm-hmm. Very electric. One of the first model quarterbacks in that dual threat thing that we've grown accustomed to now.
Yes. I think Lonnie Chapman does have a question now.
Hey-o.
Nope.
Okay, never mind. I got so excited. Lonnie.
He commented on my Lanny Champman post.
Yes. He's probably going to ask why I made the comment I made here shortly.
But, you know, being a Steelers fan, I got shit. And then when I met Lindsay and we started hanging out, she's from Pennsylvania. So when people go, why are you a Steelers fan? Oh, well, my girlfriend's from Pennsylvania. So,
right.
Yeah, we like the Steelers.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I'm a Houston Texans fan as well because I picked a team. I wanted to get on the ground floor, and I picked a team that sucked so that when they got good.
You could be that guy.
Yeah, I was there from the beginning.
Like how I feel about Pentatonics.
Yeah.
They're sucking Pentatonics candy cane. But I was the one that originally liked them. For Carol of the Bells, which was a fantastic song.
Yes. I saw them on the sing-off when they were on television. They were quite good.
They were in Pitch Perfect too.
Yes, they were.
Briefly.
If you buy, I'm trying to remember, it's one of the special editions of the CD.
Yeah.
It's actually the full version of Any Way You Want It with just them.
That sounds great.
Yes.
Sounds
it
good.
Does. Because Emily hates the other version.
Speaking of Emily.
Yeah. Oh, another one.
Oh, I like this question.
Oh, boy.
I want to talk about this one. How do you feel about lady wrestlers? Oh.
Really?
Whoa.
Oh, boy.
Someone just brought the pain.
She did.
Which is ironic, because today they released the Legends pack for 2K16.
Which includes Trish Stratus, correct?
And Lita.
Oh, okay, yeah, both of them.
Trish Stratus looks great. She looks like Trish Stratus. Lita looks like what could be considered a human being.
You know, I've been noticing that about 60-40 in terms of the accuracy of the characters in these 2K16 games.
You know who's
games?
A really great, accurate-looking character in the game?
John Cena?
Us.
That's okay. I can't
we
wait to get
it. Yeah, we use the WWE app. We're in the game now. By the way, if you have 2K16...
Get the Creation Suite app.
Hashtag Podzilla1985. You can download all of our created wrestlers on there, and you can have us in your game!
And Tony Sandecki will be joining them soon.
Yes.
I will be procuring the game shortly.
Right now available, I believe, is myself, Dalton Manch, Asa Gray,
Ace of Spades.
Big Johnny, Allie,
roster.
Lindsay, and who else we got, Dalton? Anybody else?
Not yet, but we need to make sure we get all the
downloads. Oh, CJ. CJ's on there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, CJ's
Do
on
Do we
there.
Not have Jesse as Kevin Owens?
He's not up yet because we haven't put his face on yet.
Okay, that works.
He's like the Joker. He's got to put the face on.
Right, yeah, stitch it back on.
Yeah. Well, how do you feel about lady wrestlers?
If done correctly and in a less slutty way, there is a capability for lady wrestlers to do great wrestling. Because that's the reason I enjoy wrestling. I enjoy the capability of a storyline. I enjoy the capability of the action in the ring. You look at characters like Wendy Richter.
Yes.
You look at Medusa and WCW.
Fabulous Moolah.
Fabulous Moolah and Mae Young both. Woman took a powerbomb at 80 years old through a table.
Much respect.
Yes. You take a look at Trish and Lita. Now, yes, they were sexualized to an extent, but they were capable in-ring performers.
Yes.
Especially for Trish, you saw that growth happen on the show.
I was just about to say,
yeah,
Trish
Stratus. You saw that improve.
She started off as a manager for TNA. She was a fitness model out of Canada,
yep.
Had no experience, was just a blonde girl with big boobs. She
Basically.
Looked like a porn star with big breasts.
Yeah.
So they brought her in. They put her in the tightest outfit possible with as much cleavage showing as possible.
Yeah.
Tiny short shorts. Gave her a cowboy hat and said, walk to the ring and push your boobs out.
Yeah.
But that didn't satisfy her. Trish Stratus went from being a nameless, generic blonde bimbo
Basically.
To being arguably the greatest women's wrestler in the history of wrestling. Like you said, that growth you saw from that to where she ended her career is amazing.
Right.
It's a Cinderella story. And there will never be another Trish Stratus.
No.
You know?
As much as we'd hope to, there won't be. But that's what
I
enjoy.
They keep trying.
Oh, they do.
Look at Eva Marie.
Yeah.
Look at, I can't fault any of the NXT girls.
No.
Because they legitimately seem like they are.
And some of them are improving. Now.
Yes.
Oksana didn't. And that's why she's no longer there.
Great look, but.
Couldn't keep the in-ring down.
Yeah.
And the personality wasn't that great either. Dana Brooke is another one that is improving, came in from that fitness model mentality.
Yes, and is getting better.
Yes, yeah. Developing in NXT. So, when done correctly, and there's some that I enjoy on the indie market. There's Candice Del Rey, or there's Sarah Del Rey. There's
Candice LaRue, whatever.
Both of them I enjoy. Kimberly, Princess Kimberly, who is now the Chikara champion.
Yeah.
I really enjoy her work in Chikara.
Mia Yim, which I believe is on TNA now. I hope I got that name right.
Asuka, coming over from Japan.
Asuka coming from Japan. There's so many that I know by so many different names.
That's the thing, is trying to remember what gimmick they're under now.
Yeah, trying to, Serena Deeb, Dweeb? Deeb.
Oh, yes.
From the Straight Edge Society.
Yeah,
was
I
great.
Can't what her name is
Didn't
right now.
Really.
Santana Garrett?
Yeah, yeah, a lot of the women in TNA are so good too. If
given Velvet Sky, Madison
Angelina
Reigns,
Love,
those,
Gail Kim.
Oh, Gail Kim's someone I was forgetting from earlier.
One of the greatest, yeah. So yeah, there's a lot of great women's wrestlers out there, but how would you compare what they're doing in TNA and on the indies and even in NXT versus what they're doing with the divas on Raw?
It's depressing.
How big is the gap there?
It's,
ooh, bad way to put that.
Yeah, I was about to say, but I get what your verbiage is trying to go for.
Okay.
And it is it's a wide range of the spectrum. You go from, and even some of the workers in WWE who are women's wrestlers are capable, competent talents. Some of those that we don't see very often, especially Natalya.
Yeah, Natty.
Yeah. I love Natty. Not Natty Light, not the beer. I enjoy Natalya, the wrestler.
I don't drink, sir.
Oh, well, makes one of us. Anyway. I'm not doing the Straight Edge Society.
Straight Edge.
I'm sorry. But when they're not focusing on the physical appearance, and I understand that's where you're going for with your 18 to 35 demographic, that's what pulls them in.
Yeah.
You miss such an opportunity to get what I enjoy in wrestling, the storytelling aspect, the athleticism and the dance that occurs.
Yeah.
It can be done. And women's wrestlers are capable of doing it. I just don't enjoy what I'm seeing right now in the mainline product of WWE. They're missing that opportunity.
So Charlotte versus Paige is not working for you?
No. I will admit now, I will acknowledge, and Emily can, you know, get on me later if she wishes. They are beautiful women. I acknowledge.
Well, except Charlotte.
She's pretty.
She's attractive. I'm joking.
Yeah.
I'm joking. Charlotte's a very beautiful woman. I kid.
Yeah.
Who was the ugliest woman in wrestling according to Jesse Kimball? I'm trying to remember. Do you remember Dalton? The ugliest woman in wrestling? According to Jesse Kimball. Oh, it's Natty. Natalie.
I thought it was Natty. I remember it was her, Dana Brooke. They both shared a tire. I don't think he's seen Dana Brooke. They shared a tire for a while. They were kind of interchangeable in NXT.
Did you see Raw?
I did not watch the show verbatim. I have it queued on Hulu. I've seen enough clips to know what happened with the Nikki Bella Page flip flop.
How stupid is that? So here you have Vince McMahon, who has the attention span of a gnat. He saw.
Let's give him a lot of credit.
Steve Harvey did something. That black guy did something funny the other day on the award show.
Let's give the other black guy in our company the chance to do the same thing.
Let's bring R-Truth out for no reason other than to mock what happened a couple days ago.
Not even days. Less than 24 hours.
And not
that
funny.
Happened Sunday night.
And it wasn't funny.
No.
It wasn't funny.
Which is sad because he can be funny, such as the Money in the Bank promo that happened earlier this year.
We've said R-Truth is one of the most underrated. Remember when he was in TNA and he was killing it as Ron Killings, the truth.
Or the brief flashes you saw K-Quick in Attitude Era.
Or when he feuded with John Cena.
Yeah.
With the moment he came out in the South, dressed as a Confederate soldier, is one of the ballsiest things I've ever seen in my life.
Yep.
It was one of the greatest moments in wrestling history. He did it well. But instead of giving him a push, let's just put him out there to screw up this thing. Because it doesn't make sense. The whole joke with Steve Harvey is he read the wrong name as the runner-up.
Yeah.
There is no runner-up in the Slammy Awards. I know it's fake. I know I shouldn't be getting mad about this.
But we can get mad, dang it.
It's so insulting.
It is. Well, I mean, it goes back to the thing, and I figured this would probably come up at some point. I was listening again recently to the Vince McMahon, basically what was the preview to an episode of Raw, where he come out and this is the cure for the common show.
Yeah.
We at the World Wrestling Federation do not wish to insult your intelligence like other programs.
Oh, you're talking about when they were really trying to bury WCW and they were trying to set themselves apart during the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I have that saved multiple times on my YouTube account. It's one of the quintessential things, both just showing Vince McMahon outside of the character and also showing what the product could do. Acknowledging we are like soap operas.
Yeah.
We are much less like a traditional sporting event and more like these other forms of entertainment.
Man, I miss that traditional sporting event, though.
I do. There's a part of me that misses the play-by-play on the sideline. Now, of course, we talked about it, or you guys talked about it on PWU many moons ago. Was your favorite
broadcast
play-by-play
team? Yeah. Who was your favorite?
You know, it's very hard to say going back. Growing up, of course, for me, it was JR and King being the ones.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby the Brain Heenan that I love.
Absolutely. My all-time favorite, Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby the Brain.
Because there was such, even more than King and JR, because King was a child on surge and sprees. He was so ADHD on a lot of it.
Jerry the King Lawler, during the Attitude Era especially, reminded me if Zach got a job as Raw broadcaster, he would act as that. He would be yelling about puppies.
Yeah.
He would be obnoxious. And apparently that's what kids like. I say kids like squalor. That's what we give them, a squalor. Yeah.
Now you mentioned another one that we give the man little credit in terms of his senility now, but I enjoyed Vince McMahon's play-by-play in the early to mid-90s.
I did too.
It was passionate. It wasn't quite accurate, but you could tell there was a fervor in his voice. That's what I try to approach broadcasting by, which is why I enjoy it so much.
Yeah.
Is that desire to, I want to tell you about what I'm seeing.
You want to be
excited. And I want you to know that it's exciting and worth listening to.
That was the one criticism I got when I tried to do a podcast before we started Podzilla. I did one test podcast of just me.
I've heard of this mystery episode.
Yeah, it's horrible. And I remember Justin Mann, who did work over on K103. No, not K103.
He was at KGMO. He was at
KGMO. Winters. KGMO. Yeah. He was one of the hosts on there.
Right.
And he said, you know, it sounded pretty good, but you don't have enough of an inflection in your voice. Mm-hmm. You got to sound more excited. And sometimes I try, but sometimes I'm laid back.
It's not quite Zach Kurgis laid back. True.
That's why I like doing podcasts versus doing traditional radio, because I don't have to fake, because I hate the fake voice. Yeah. Hunter has it down like a pro.
Yeah.
Like when Hunter turns it on, even when you're speaking to Hunter and he's not on the radio, he still has that radio voice.
Right.
He sounds like he's entertaining you all the time. I don't have that.
I don't as much as some people like to insinuate either.
It's cute. It is what it is.
And I don't try to turn it on. I don't have a turn on switch. I don't have a switch to flip. It's really just, here's what I am, here's what it is.
You yam what you am.
That's right. It is what it is.
So you like lady wrestlers, though?
I enjoy the concept.
Should we call them lady wrestlers? That sounds so offensive.
I enjoy women's wrestling when done properly.
Yeah. Now, how do you think they wrestle week in, week out on their periods?
Next question.
Now we're going.
Drew Rosenhaus, next question.
What?
Long story with sports. I'll show you after the show.
Okay. All right.
One of his clients was being interviewed, and his client didn't want to answer the question, so he just repeatedly said next question.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he insinuated she was on her period.
No.
Because that's a stupid move.
No. No, we don't talk about those things.
I was trying to remember what show I watched where someone was getting angry, and the guy just said, it's okay, you're just on your period. And I don't remember what
it
was.
Any sitcom ever, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You could probably
Friends?
No. No. Although there were a few of those jokes made across the series, yes.
Next question?
Sure.
It's from Lindsay.
Oh, okay.
She wants to know, how well would you do on American Gladiators at the age you were when it aired versus how you would do now?
Well, given that I was an infant when it was in syndication or pre-birth.
Well, maybe she's talking about the...
Gladiators 2000?
The remake, yeah.
Well, even then I would have been 10.
Hosted by...
Oh, now, which one are you talking about? You're talking about the one in 2007 by Tatiana Ali
and Hogan Brother?
Layla Ali and Hogan Brother.
Yeah.
I probably would have done poorly at that one too, because again, going about 40 minutes ago, 50 minutes ago back, my lack of athleticism, despite my brain's ability to assess the situation, I would have done bad. Although I would have much rather been in the original American Gladiators because...
Despite being an infant.
Yes.
Okay.
The camp was up to 10, man. I want to fight, just, oh I want to fight God, yeah. ice and laser,
laser
and wolf.
And, you know who used to be on American Gladiators?
I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, a lot of them.
Yeah.
Rico Constantino.
Oh, yes.
Was, competed on American Gladiators back in, the 90s. It was the first 90s remake.
Yeah.
Also one of my favorite guys in the world. I'm trying to remember his name because I always forget it.
Is it one of the gladiators?
He was one of the gladiators.
Blaze, Ice, Wolf, Laser.
Calm down.
No, I'm gonna hit it. I gotta hit it.
I know you do. Oh, boy. He played Superman in the world's finest, fan film. And he was also on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia as Max Avatar.
Yeah. I want to say it was Blaze, but I could be way off.
Michael O'Hearn was his name. Michael O'Hearn, and I'm going to see which one he was.
He may have been on the re-up, or the remake. Maybe not the original.
He was, he was on the original as Thor and 2008 as Titan.
Thor, okay.
So yeah. he's a double dealer right there.
There you go.
The guy is jacked.
Oh yeah. Well, all of them were.
Yes, but this guy especially.
They were the people that should have been in the World Bodybuilding Federation, not guys like Lex Luger.
He was the only person I've seen play Superman and didn't need anything.
Yeah.
To look. He just put the man in spandex and he looks incredible.
He's what you see in the comics.
I have a question for
yes.
you.
Yes.
You like comics?
Yes.
You like Superman?
I can. They're, my favorite Superman limited series is Red Sun.
Yeah.
Because it's an exploration of the character from a different vantage point.
Yeah.
It's nothing, because in the genre of
comics.
This is
when he was a communist, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, when the Earth was rotating, he landed in communist Russia at a farm. For me, it's just because the character, it's not just because he's, you know, ubermensch, he's super powerful, he's everything under the sun.
He's a god.
Yeah. It's not because of that, it's because the stories at times can become so contrived and lazy that you can lose the realism of the character. I think it was All-Star Superman.
Oh, the newer ones.
Yeah, I think it was Grant Morrison that wrote one of them that I enjoyed, because it brought him to a more human level, I guess, in the sense that he understands he's an alien on a planet he doesn't understand, but he's trying to understand these creatures he's protecting.
Have you ever read Kingdom Come?
Parts of it.
Probably my favorite comic of all time.
Okay.
And Superman in that is portrayed as, after Lois Lane dies, he goes back and is a farmer.
Yeah.
That's all he wants to do. He's given it up. It's an amazing story with a very apocalyptic religious overtone to it. It's insanely good. I have it if you ever want to borrow it.
I might need
to
do that.
It's incredible. Who is your favorite Superman in the actors that have played them? Actually, we'll do that with that and Batman. I'm curious. It's a random question.
Oh, right.
And the reason I bring it up is because, I'm a heterosexual.
As am I? Question? I'm wondering where this is going.
I have such a man crush on Brandon Routh. That it's not funny. Now, Brandon Routh was in Superman Returns.
Yes.
He's the most handsome man in the world, I'm fairly sure. He was also in Scott Pilgrim as the vegan.
Yes, number three.
Yeah. And I wish he had played Superman more, because this Henry Cavill guy, I don't know how to pronounce his name.
I think it's Henry Cavill.
I've not seen Man of Steel.
Neither have I. I've avoided it strictly because of the basically explosion porn I've been told it is in the second part of the movie.
Pretty much.
From the trailers I've seen for BVS, Batman vs. Superman, I've got no desire to even see Man of Steel anymore. What little I did, I don't.
I want to see it just so I can set up Dawn of Justice.
That would be the only reason. I don't even know if I'll see Dawn of Justice.
I still wish Brandon Routh would have been Superman, because I think he deserved more. But who is your favorite Superman that's portrayed the man? And we're talking about, let's just say in the movies.
Yeah.
Forget about the old TV show. Forget Dean Cain.
That's where I was going to make a joke at first.
I know you want to say Dean Cain.
Is that Dean Cain?
Dean Cain's amazing. But let's say Christopher Reeves. Well, I guess Christopher Reeve, Brandon Routh, and Henry Cavill.
It defaults to Christopher Reeve. And it's by no fault of Brandon Routh because I hated the film's storyline. I feel like it tried to go for that sentimental line. Now, mind you, I admit it's been a number of years since I've seen it. It's been about 2008, 2009 since I've watched the film.
Where Superman did not throw a single punch.
Right. And I get wanting to get to, again, like I said, I enjoy the humanist viewpoint of Superman, wanting to get to that. Who are you? Why do you do these things?
Yeah.
But I feel like it pursued too much of the story building for a lack of action. Especially with, God love him,
the Kevin Spacey?
Yeah, playing Lex Luthor. Oh, man.
He's no Gene Hackman.
I wanted to like it so much, and I couldn't do it. So, I don't blame Ruth that much. Now, maybe there were portions where his charisma was lacking, but again, I think I blame
him. Again, it's Superman.
Yeah.
He doesn't really have a lot of charisma.
Well, you know, you say that.
He's the John Cena of, John Cena's got charisma. That's unfair. I also blame that movie for James Marsden not doing X3.
Yeah.
Cyclops died in the first 5 minutes because of that freaking movie.
Yep.
Just so he could lose his girl to
Superman.
Yeah. And of course you're gonna lose your girl to Superman.
He's Mr. Steely Girl.
Careful. Careful. All right, what about Batman? We got Michael Keaton, Val Kilmer,
George Clooney, Christian Bale,
and Ben Affleck.
Because I haven't seen it, I will leave Affleck out of the discussion.
Affleck automatically wins.
Really?
I think Ben Affleck's going to be the best Batman of all time.
That is the one redeeming thing that makes me want to see Batman versus Superman, is how he does that. And I admit, as someone who, I'm going to get a lot of hate for this, I don't enjoy the Christopher Nolan films.
I really liked Batman Begins.
Yes. It had such a great start.
Yes.
And I'm not going to be one of these guys that, for the sake of going as popular opinion, says The Dark Knight was terrible. I enjoyed the film.
The Dark Knight was good.
Yeah.
It was a good movie.
It just...
It gets progressively... I don't know the right way to put it. From Batman Begins...
Bleak?
What's that?
Bleak, maybe?
Not just bleak, but it almost seems like they're too big of a fan of themselves... Come The Dark Knight Rises. Like they've gotten arrogant with it, where they just think we can put whatever we want out and people are going to swallow it.
Which I just watched Dark Knight Rises for the first time earlier this year, and there's a reason now I know that I missed it for so long.
It was disappointing.
Oh, bad.
Batman Begins was amazing.
Yes.
I thought Chris Bale did, he was the best Bruce Wayne Batman combo. But when he started doing that goddamn voice in The Dark Knight, and then especially in Dark Knight Rises, it made me, every time he was Batman, I cringed.
Yeah. Which is sad because, like you said, Cillian Murphy.
Scarecrow. You didn't
say him. I know we've talked about it before on here.
Second most beautiful man in the world.
Yeah. Great playing of Jonathan Crane.
He was a great Scarecrow.
I loved where it started.
Yes.
And you maybe said it best. It got so full of itself that by the end it was contrived.
Yeah.
I want nothing to do with it.
If you haven't seen Dark Knight Rises yet, turn off this episode because I'm about to spoil it. The whole Talia al Ghul, not Bane as the leader.
Yeah.
You build Bane up. Finally, Bane is portrayed as a smart, powerful individual. And then in the end, he's just a lackey.
Oh, which is sad because even through the lackey stage or not knowing that, he seemed to me like a caricature of what the Bane was supposed to be. Now, maybe it's because it's Tom Hardy. He doesn't strike me as that imposing freak of a figure. And that's unrealistic in the comic books. I like Tom Hardy for what he did. All jokes aside, yes, I found the voice modulator ridiculous.
That was ridiculous. But I'm a huge Tom Hardy fan.
I don't disrespect. I love his films. Lawless, if you've ever seen it.
Lawless is
it.
Good. Have you ever seen Bronson?
No, I have not.
Probably my favorite Tom Hardy film. It's about Charles Bronson, not the actor, but the criminal who is, I think, what is his record? Is he spent the most time in solitary confinement of any prisoner, and he's never killed anybody.
Right.
He's just so insane and crazy and violent that they keep locking him up.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Hardy played Bronson, and it's so terrifying, and he's so charismatic in the role. If you've not seen it, please go watch
it. And that's the reason I could tolerate his Bane, because he was charismatic, despite the voice modulator.
Yeah.
There was that passion of, I've come from the dark. I was multi. Oh, don't do it. If we're going to do that, someone give me a glass so I can put it over my face. I feel like that's the best way to emulate that voice.
Oh, I thought you were going to do the Kylie Jenner lip challenge.
No.
You could have some DSLs like
Dalton. Dadgummit. No. Favorite Batman might still go to Michael Keaton. Although, here's my thing. I don't like Forever. I don't like And Robin. Believe me, I had to watch through both of them recently. Thank you, Emily.
You have to like And Robin. For the reason that it's the worst.
Stupid camp. I enjoy Arnold Schwarzenegger in it.
Yeah, but he's horrible.
Frosty!
You want to put me in the cooler?
Yeah. The Ice Age! And other terrible puns. No, here's the thing. You want to give me my perfect Batman.
Yeah.
You give me the Bruce Wayne of George Clooney. You give me the Batman of Kilmer. And you have got one fine Batman. Because that was the thing. I did not like George Clooney's Batman, but I think he hit that Playboy area pretty well.
See, that's what I thought Christian Bale did. His Bruce Wayne, because he was
first
handsome.
First movie.
Only the first
Again,
movie.
Again, that's the problem I have, is because he didn't carry it over. Now, no. None of the others did either, because they didn't have a chance.
Michael Keaton was the worst Bruce Wayne.
God love him, because I really enjoy Michael Keaton.
I do too, but he was neurotic. He was not a playboy.
No.
He was more of a Howard Hughes figure, who hides away in his mansion, nobody sees him, whereas George Clooney was very much the on-the-town
playboy.
Well,
you can thank Tim Burton / Frank Miller for that initial neuroses.
Tim Burton as the director of Batman. It sounds so ridiculous to say now. After seeing his horrible films, when was the last time Tim Burton did a good movie? And don't say Nightmare Before Christmas, because that's not a Tim Burton movie. Internet.
Despite your leanings, Corpse Bride, kinda?
No!
Honestly, it's the last Tim Burton film I can remember.
The last Tim Burton movie that I liked was, Corpse Bride.
He did direct that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought it was one of the many Burton Depp combos.
Because he did the awful Alice in Wonderland, he did the awful Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Ugh.
They're making a sequel to Alice in Wonderland.
I know, let's not talk about it.
Where's your God now?
Forsaking me? Question mark? I'm sorry, Jesus.
Dalton Manch has a third, comment.
Stop it, Manch!
He wants defer to his last two comments about sucking it and suck it more.
Boy, I'm going to beat you to a bloody pulp with this microphone when the show's done.
And he'll do it too, because he's very little and weak.
Yes, and
very
I am
feminine. You say you like lady wrestlers.
Oh, gosh. No. Dalton, you stay away from spandex, sir. You keep it on the game. As a male. Don't make a female. Female Dalton Manch coming soon to the Podzilla 1985. Cody's going to make it happen. Making Toadie Sandusky, I'm making female Manch.
Are you just doing a gender swap?
Probably.
Character?
I'm lazy. I'll keep facial hair.
Well, so do some women.
I'll keep the man bun.
There was
it's going to be your face on a female body. Let's just cut to the chase. I'm lazy.
That sounds like a great idea. Folks, if you download Dalton Manch's Wrestler on 2K16, make the sexiest Dalton Manch you can. Send us a picture of it at podzilla1985@hotmail.com.
I'm about to say, please send it. I really
and we will
this.
Send you something special. We will send you a picture of Dalton Manch signed by Asa Gray.
That increases the value from the paper it's
printed on.
Because
it'll be worth more.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Cody, we're almost out of time, man.
Man, I know.
We're at an hour already.
Jeez.
How did it feel doing a one-on-one show?
It was a lot of fun. I came in hoping to do more of a serious journalistic side. That got blown to Hades.
No, we got 5 minutes.
Lovely friends.
Let's talk about it.
Okay.
Let's talk about it. I'm on the network. All right. Tell me about your journalistic career. Tell me about what you want to do for a career. What are you going into?
Admittedly, sports broadcasting. And I know, as you said, and we've talked about it off the air in times past, it's maybe a more shallow pursuit to journalism.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I love current events. I took one current events class in school, in high school, but I followed it for multiple semesters.
Right.
Poked my head into the class multiple times to say hey and participate in conversation.
Yeah.
I love world events. I love current events. I love being educated on what's going on.
Yeah.
I don't think I could, in a sane way, present that kind of news around the clock for the rest of my life.
So you don't think you could do serious journalism just from how you feel about yourself? Like, you wouldn't do it justice.
Maybe after time I could do it justice. Like, I'm not saying I'm a Dan Rather or Walter Cronkite, whom I really respect in that conversation, but I don't think personally I could enjoy delivering that kind of serious, hard-nosed journalism all of my life.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to be educated about things, but I don't know if I could go into a Charlie Hebdo situation.
Yeah.
If I can go into a San Bernardino situation and deliver that information as unbiased, as educated, and as informative as it needs to be, especially as we see more of those events happen.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could do that.
It's becoming more common. And what you really have to do for journalism, what I was taught and what I've always been told, is that you have to basically numb yourself to the world. It's when you become desensitized to what's happening that you can report it fairly. But once you become desensitized to it, you lose that human aspect. And it's the great journalists, like your Walter Cronkites, your Tom Brokaws, Tim Russert, I highly respect
him. Oh, I missed him.
I miss him
so much.
Greatly.
I don't think I've watched one episode of Meet the Press.
I haven't
since
Not
then.
Since he passed away. Mm-hmm. No. But those guys, they did it in such a way that it was, and I don't want to compare this to wrestling, but it's a lot like Jim Ross. Mm-hmm. They do it in a way that is both professional and endearing.
Passion.
Yeah, passion.
Endearing is another great word, yes.
And it is difficult to do. I very much also wanted to be a news anchor. I wanted to be a serious journalist. I learned very quickly that I don't have the look for a serious journalist. I've got the long hair. I'm huge.
Well, I mean, as I said it before the show, I had a professor in college tell me I had a face for radio and a voice for print. So.
I didn't say I was ugly.
Oh, okay, well, then I'll say that about myself.
I'm very desired. Women throw themselves at me. Literally, one woman threw herself at me the other day and said, take my purse. Don't hurt me. That was for Ethan. But yeah, journalism is difficult to do. I can't see myself doing it anymore. I'm never going to be on NBC Nightly News. I'm never going to be on KFBS 12 doing, you know, the Jeff Cunningham role.
Right.
The best I'll hope for is doing print or doing this for two reasons. One, because it doesn't matter what I look like. I can be as hippie or anarchist. They used to call me an anarchist in college. Me and my cousin Ryan, we were the anarchists of college.
Okay.
And I can look like that.
Right.
I also don't have to censor myself. We joke about the F words and the N bombs that we throw around here jokingly. But in all seriousness, when it comes down to a show like gay marriage or, the Paris attacks or, you know, Muslim terrorism
There's
or terrorizing Muslims.
Yeah.
Actually.
Well, yeah.
We can say whatever we want. I don't have to censor it. I don't have to present myself in a certain way because that's what it's demanded of me.
And that's the reason I think I enjoy the surge of online media and why, despite the fact I'm going into radio, which is a career many said has been dying since the early 90s.
Yeah.
And I understand that. There's some battles to fight there. I appreciate that I'm in the current era of technology to where those avenues are open.
Yeah.
I don't have to report to an editor in the sense of you're not allowed to deliver the story. Or I don't have to report to a constituent that says, we pay for sponsorship in your newspaper. I don't like what you're writing.
Yeah.
Even in your editorial, I don't like it. We can, as you said, it's a liberty to deliver what we feel is important in a manner in which we find it entertaining and valuable to listen to.
Yeah.
And with as much information as we can gather.
I think
that's very valuable and something I like. That's why at the end of the day, I don't necessarily feel myself going toward terrestrial radio or traditional radio because there are those limitations. Now, I don't very often fly off the cuff, you know, drop the F words or the flim flam.
It happens.
Occasionally,
it
yes.
Happens.
Yeah. Very rarely on the air. In fact, I don't think I can say I've never sworn over the air for my current career. So 3 years and running on that one. But, yeah, well.
Knock on table.
It's plastic. That's right. Yeah. We'll see how that goes. But
Lonnie can't afford wood.
Well.
He won't pay for it. But imagine.
Hard time, Daddy.
Cody, imagine 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Could you ever have a show like this?
No. No.
Before the advent of the internet, before it became popular with YouTube and podcasts and all of that stuff, where would you find your news? You would find it in print, New York Times. You would find it on TV, the NBC Nightly News.
Right.
You would not have an avenue to say what you want when you want. And what the sad thing is there are still countries that have those restrictions, that the news is mandated and governed by the government.
Yeah.
They tell you what to air. They tell you what you can and cannot say. They push their corporate line.
Or they air it themselves. I mean, you look at North Korea and China, they have government-funded national networks.
Yeah.
Like, they are the media.
They are the media. So you see what they want you to see.
Yeah.
And one of the things I've always had a problem with that we're still behind on in mainstream journalism. I hate mainstream journalism.
I do too.
If you've heard me on the show before, I hate.
Admittedly, my mainstream media consumption is really limited to NPR now.
Really?
And it basically came down to we spoke about the Charlie Hebdo attacks.
Yeah.
I was driving into work. I was still working in Sykeson at that time, driving into work, listening to that. And it impacted me because I listened to passing NPR. And you remember this is January of this year. So it's been fairly recent.
Yeah.
It impacted me that they delivered the news. It was very matter of fact. There was no conjecture about what happened. It just acknowledged, here's the attack.
This is what happened.
Here's what we know.
Yeah.
Here's our person in France. Can you tell us what is happening? Can you tell us what you have learned to this point? There was no immediate, okay, let me get my round table. Let me see what you guys think about them dirty, dirty Muslims.
Yeah.
It was really, here's what's happened. Here's why we believe it's based upon a terrorism attack from radical Muslims. Here you go. And that impacted me, and that's why I leave it to my mainstream medium consumption, because it was as neutral as you can get.
Well, here's the problem with online media, though. We talk about how terrible it is that you have to censor yourself with mainstream media, and my biggest problem with that is when they show you what, you know, when you're on television and you can't show how it really is,
mm-hmm.
If you show a war zone, I've said it before, you're showing bullets in the air, you're showing helicopters flying overhead.
Your live leak.
Live leak. What do you see on something like that? You see dead bodies, you see children blown in half. You see stuff that if you saw that, you would maybe rethink how you see war. You would rethink how you see violence against people. But the other side of that is with media like online, where you're not censored, you have websites like, I saw this today, the unfortunate incident of the woman that ran over the,
In Las Vegas,
yeah. 30 plus people, one person died. There was an article by, I think it was called like truthuncensored.com.
Oh, we saw this last night.
We did.
Yes.
Where it said, I swore I heard her say Allahu Akbar as she ran people over. This has been confirmed to not be true on CNN, as of when we're recording this, of confirmed not to be true on CNN. There is no terrorist angle to this, but they ran with it like it was the top news story. Like they really uncovered something. Yeah. So when you have an open media where you don't have censoring and you don't have people that check their facts and everyone's trying to get the big story, they want the most hits. Then you have articles and stories that are designed to scare people, create fear, create hatred. And where does it end? Who is going to censor this? With the mainstream media, you'll never see Tom Brokaw or one of those guys inciting riots in such a way by presenting facts that are clearly up for debate. They at least, they have to run it by people. Or they
had
have to.
I'll say had to. I feel that's less confident.
You don't think that's as big as it is now? As
no, not with the passing of the torch from those like Brokaw and from like Cronkite. I'll even say because Rather was caught a few times flubbing a few facts.
Brian Williams.
Unfortunately, because I love Brian
Williams. I love Brian Williams as well. I was very sad when he got busted for that.
I think that.
And yet fucking Donald Trump is running around saying whatever he wants.
Yeah. Popularity still surges.
Did you? Okay. I don't mean to change subjects so much time, but I have to mention this.
We'll revert back in a moment.
I just read about this. So Donald Trump, and we've gone way over, and that's fine. We own the network. Yeah. We'll give it a few more. This is the longest Mr. 100 presents.
Great.
Trump. If you can't be number one, at least you can be the longest,
right?
That's right.
I own something.
Trump wants Hillary Clinton to apologize for the comments she made about ISIS using Trump comments in their training videos and their recruitment videos because it's unproven and dangerous to Donald Trump's reputation. They asked Donald Trump, because he's demanding an apology, they asked him, well, what about the comments you made that Muslims were celebrating the 9/11 attacks? You said you saw yourself, which has been proven to not be true. And he said, no, everyone says I'm right. They printed articles that said I'm right. Are you fucking kidding me that people still take Donald Trump seriously as a politician? You are a Republican.
Let's not go there.
I'm not saying that you
conservative in some areas.
As a conservative, and this guy is a Republican candidate who is running on a conservative ticket. And I know you don't do it, and I've still got the open challenge to anyone that wants to come on this show and talk to me why you like Donald Trump in a serious conversation. Why would someone support somebody who flat out lies and is a bigger danger to this country than the people that he's trying to terrorize?
It reverts back to actually something I was going to bring up because mainstream media or consumption of media is a twofold process. One of them which relies on the viewer or the consumer to vet their sources and vet what they're receiving. That's a problem. I think that it's a lack of responsibility. We talk about it in society. There are a lot of people who don't accept responsibility for their flaws.
Yeah.
The same thing happens with media. You consume media like Truth Uncensored. You consume media like blah, 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 RepublicansRock.com. You know, whatever. You consume this and take it at face value. It is your responsibility as a consumer of information to verify that information to whatever extent you can before accepting it as gospel truth and delivering it to other people. That has to be done. It's a failure on consumers and it's a failure on providers in the online space because there's no faces to attribute, which is one of the reasons I use my personal real name in all of my pursuits in media.
Same here.
Because I want you to know it's, well,
I spell it a little different, but
it happens. Right.
That's
we can find
spelled.
You. Yeah. You know it's me. I claim everything I say is, that's me.
Yeah.
It's not a facade. It's
unapologetic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So for Donald Trump, it's a lack of vetting or a lack of information from his followers, and we'll call them followers, those who back him.
It's like a cult.
And it's also, it's a bucking the trend of the PC mentality, which is, I don't agree with it. It's a wrong approach to take. I understand that political correctness does seem to be a caricature of itself.
Yeah.
But to buck that trend so vehemently because you want to be that person who says, screw the establishment, you're doing it wrong.
Voting for someone based on the fact that they are anti-culture, that they're counterculture, like Donald Trump, a guy who, like you said, spits in the face of PC, that spits in the face of I'll say what I want and do what I want,
right,
and people support that. That is just as bad as voting for Barack Obama because he was black.
Yeah.
If you voted for Barack Obama because he was black and not because you understood his politics or his policies, then you're as big of an idiot as the guys that support Donald Trump just because he says, I am saying what people are afraid to say. There's a reason people are afraid to say those things, usually because they're wrong,
right,
and they make you look like an ass.
I'm gonna say they're in poor taste to being a relatable human being.
Yes.
Who's respected as a human being.
Somehow.
I don't
you hear that, Nate?
It. No.
Check your sources before you spout off at the mouth.
And here's the thing I always say about Donald Trump and about people like that in general. Don't mudsling and expect your suit to not get dirty in the process.
And yet his suit's so dirty at this point, it's a brown suit.
It
was black.
Hey, it was a power tie, and now it's all brown.
And he's still number one.
I know. For now.
I don't want to live on this planet anymore, Cody.
I didn't think I was going to live on this planet too much longer, depending on what happened and what I said in the media, so why not?
I don't feel like I'm going to live on this planet much longer anyway.
Hi-oh!
But,
you know,
but I'm glad to be here right now because you came on the show, and I appreciate it.
I'm glad you let me be on the show.
It was fun.
It's been a blast.
It's fun. I like talking journalism with people. We'll have to have you back on here soon.
Let's see if we can start a serious show. Of course, I still have a sports show.
Yeah, no. You give me some more episodes of the sports show.
Yeah, we'll work on
with
it.
You and Jesse Kimball, of all people. And then we'll talk.
Take who you got.
Yeah.
If I abandon sports, this might be my outlet to do real journalism. Who knows?
Well,
or we'll just come on a random show and talk about them gun rights again.
I thought it would be an outlet for my real journalism too, and yet here I am.
Crushing Cody. Faith since 2015. Bonzilla 1985.
Cody, thank you.
Thank you for
It's been
me.
An honor.
It's been a blast and an honor for me as well.
Thank you. And I want to thank everybody out there for listening and for sending in the questions. We
yes,
really appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
We're going to be back tomorrow night with a special Christmas episode. We're not doing Pro Wrestling Unscripted this week.
It's the holidays. It's time for
rest. It's time to rest. We're not doing Tana Thursday. Tomorrow will be the last episode for this week. We're going to talk about Christmas. We're going to talk about favorite Christmas movies, toys, anything Christmas related. It should be a blast. I believe that's going to be me, Lindsay, Jesse, and Dalton. Maybe. After tonight, who knows?
He's nodding his head. He's smiling.
Yeah,
we're good.
He's always nodding his head. Yeah. Except usually his head's in some dude's lap.
There
anyway,
we go.
Brittany, think about it. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you back tomorrow on the show. Cody, thanks for it. And take us out.
It's been fun. Thank you for listening to Mr. 100% on the Podzilla 1985 Network. We'll see you next time.